It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. There are a range of programs open to high school students to live abroad, from summer volunteer opportunities to spending an entire academic year in another country. At a time when high school students are finding out about placements, we explore what these programs accomplish in education. Call in with questions and comments about teens studying abroad, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jamie Cook is Illinois-Wisconsin Regional Manager for the International Student Exchange, a program of the U.S. State Department. Jamie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And Ellen Weingarten is here, member of the Central States Rotary Youth Exchange Program and chair of District 6220. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Ellen, let's start with you. Here we are in that time of year when high school students selected for Rotary Youth Exchange, they find out where they're headed, what country they'll live in for a year. How scary or exciting is this moment for them?
I think it's just terribly exhilarating. They start their training in the fall of the prior year. They wait until about December, end of December, January. And the volunteers who are connected to them get to let them know where they're going. And then at that point, it gets really real. I think they have a mix of anxiety and exhilaration, and it stays that way until they come home from their exchange.
Is there a special way of announcing their destination?
We have an outbound coordinator who learns of the country assignments from the correspondents, and then she sends an email to all of the youth exchange officers embedded in the clubs that are sponsoring the students. And then she tells the kids that we know. And so there's a flurry of texting and asking people to hurry up and get to their computers so they can find out where they're going.
Jamie, students coming from other countries to the U.S. through your organization, the International Student Exchange, they arrive in January and August. So what initial challenges do they face, particularly here in Wisconsin and Illinois, where you place them with volunteer host families?
Many of our students come from big cities, of course, from other countries, and they wind up here in, Podunk, Illinois or Wisconsin. And at first it's quite a shock for them that they can't hop a bus and go to the club or go here. And so that takes a while to understand. Plus, in our country, more than others, we have school activities, band plays, athletics, Scholastic Bowl, all of that. And really, they don't have that in their other countries. They go and sit in one room and the teachers rotate. So one moving to class is our very first girl got a detention because she didn't know how to work her combination lock on her locker. And then trying to fit in all of this. So time management is one thing that's kind of rough for them. They're used to getting off school about maybe 2 in the afternoon and then not having to go back till the next day. And there's no school colors, there's no school mascot, there's no school spirit. So all of that is new. They can't understand when they first get here why you would go back to school after school's out. And it takes them a while to figure that out, why. And then when they do, they're excited about doing that.
And I imagine, too, that the families that they are put into, they're busy. They're going their separate ways. You mentioned all of these after-school activities. What do you advise these host families in terms of ensuring the international student is part of the family's routine and kind of, and in their unit?
I have them at the beginning sit down with the student, and I have a booklet that they use that talks about, what do we do? When's curfew? Where do I put my laundry? And who does it? And am I responsible for making my bed? And then talk about, okay, we've got to talk about beforehand what activities you get into and see how we fit them into our family. A lot of the kids that my husband and I have hosted 21, and we tell the kids that it's easier for you if you find a friend in your sport or your band or whatever to ask them for rides back and forth. It gets you to be a good friend. My son did that with a foreign exchange student, and they became really good friends. And that helps to make friends, and especially boys, they don't like the idea that they're picked up by their mommies. It works out much better with a friend.
Jamie Cook with us, International Student Exchange, Ellen Weingarten with Central States Rotary Youth Exchange Program. You can join in on high school exchange programs. Your experiences and questions, 800-642-1234. Ellen, how does Rotary Youth Exchange select high school students in the U.S. and then decide where in the world to send them?
We are generally club-based in terms of the process that the club goes through to interview and vet students. There are some rules that we adhere to as a minimum GPA. They need to obviously have an interest in going abroad. And for some of the students, it's a really affordable program because there are scholarships available. We're also what we call a one-fee district, which means that each student pays the same fee for going abroad. So whether you go to India or Mexico, your fee is the same. And it covers insurance and all of that, all of the things that are required for them to go abroad. We have one of the benefits to having a multi-district is that as a program that's managed and guided by the Department of State, we have rules that we have to follow and training that our volunteers have to have. And so the Central States has pooled together all of the resources of the 20 districts to help us with compliance, with buying insurance for a more affordable rate. But we also have a raft of correspondents who participate with other correspondents across the world. And when they have their list of students that have got their priorities where they want to go, they are able to better broker and get those students to the places that they really want to go. And then they're also at the same time accepting students to bring here to the Central States.
I wonder, Jamie, what are your reflections on how you make this affordable for students who want to go abroad? But, you know, certainly cost is a huge factor. It's a barrier.
Yes, that can be. We suggest we suggest that they do some kind of car washes, stuff like that, to raise money, volunteer activities, maybe having a spaghetti dinner or whatever to help them raise money to go abroad. Our kids get to pick which country they go to, and we make it happen. The one thing we do also have scholarships, according to need. We do have scholarships, and we have a base across the world of agents who we go through. Agents, a little different than a Rotary. There are agents over in other countries that are like travel agents. The kids apply there. They have to have a certain grade point average, certain English ability, so forth and so on. And then once they go through everything there, then we look at their applications and find out which kids we think would best fit our program. So that's basically how we do it. We do a lot of fundraising for the students who want to go, and there are scholarships for those who otherwise couldn't afford it.
Jamie Cook is Illinois Wisconsin Regional Manager for the International Student Exchange. Ellen Weingarten here with the Central States Rotary Youth Exchange, her district spanning Northeast Wisconsin, parts of Michigan as well. Join in on high schoolers going abroad, your experiences and stories. They're welcome at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Department offers scholarships for American high school students to study abroad from 3 weeks to an academic year. And as scholarship selection announcements are typically made in coming months, we explore how these programs work. Call in with questions about high school study abroad, 800-642-1234. You have Jamie Cook, Illinois Wisconsin Regional Manager for International Student Exchange, and Ellen Weingarten, who is Chair of District 6220 Youth Exchange Program for Rotary. Ellen, I want to turn to language for a moment. American Rotary Exchange students are not required to speak a language other than English. What issues can this cause for students or their host families?
The students do their best to pick up their language or get a familiarity with it before they leave. Some of them have had French, Spanish, or German. When the students get abroad, some countries will offer a language camp that the students can attend for about 2 or 3 weeks before they end up in their host town. It is a barrier. And I might also add that social media, which didn't exist when I went on exchange through Rotary, can be a great hindrance for picking up the language. By and large, all of the students come back relatively fluent, if not completely fluent in the language.
Why the impact of social media? What do you see there?
So imagine leaving your home for the first time alone without your parents as an exchange student and going abroad somewhere you've never been likely and living with a family that you don't know and having to navigate in a country in which you may not know the language or maybe a little bit. And it can be, it's so exciting, but it's also a little bit isolating because you don't understand what people are saying. I think that there is an opportunity for people to reconnect or stay connected with the people back at home, which disrupts the language acquisition for the student. When you don't have access to people at home or your original language, your brain is focused and forced to learn the language so that you can communicate. And it's a key human need to be able to communicate with the people around you.
So your attention span is taken away from what is around you a bit when you are, you know, constantly checking perhaps your social media.
Yes.
Yeah.
Texting friends or family.
Sure, sure. Jamie, what foreign language skills are American students required to have to study abroad through your program?
They have to have at least a basic knowledge of the language that they go to. But I want to add to Ellen's, she is very correct. When I first started placing 30 years ago, we didn't have social media. So kids had to write a snail mail letter to their host, to their natural parents. That took a week for them to write back, and then a week for the kids to get it. So it's 3 weeks without contact from home, which made them have to turn to hear. To ease the loneliness. But now when you can run home and jump on the computer and talk to mom, dad, or your friends back in your country, they never leave home. And what we suggest in our organization is find a time, like maybe ours in our house was on Sunday after we went to church. The kids don't have to go with us, but after we got home from church, they could have 3 hours to talk to their parents, their friends, all of that. And then the computer was shut down and it was put away, and they could use it for homework where we could see it, but they could they can then in a week call back their parents so that they have time to adapt to here, because that is one of the biggest. Social media may be great, but it wasn't very good for foreign exchange. I agree with her. Yes, we have to have a basic knowledge. The kids that come here have to score. We have what we call an ELTIS test, an English test, and they have to score a certain amount to be able to come here. They are told that if they struggle with the language, then that they would hire a tutor while they're here.
So certainly putting up guardrails there about communicating to home and social media and some structured communication times. I'm going to just reintroduce you for a moment as we talk about high school students, exchange programs, two program managers, Jamie Cook there with International Student Exchange, Ellen Weingarten with Central States Rotary Youth Exchange Program. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Ellen, what about making up schoolwork? If these students are studying abroad for the year, what happens to their the work that they would have done at home in Wisconsin?
I have to say that first of all, some of the students who decide to go have some trepidation because they're worried about missing some of the social aspects of school. Not the least of which is also their academic. The academic timeline can be managed with the guidance counselor through planning online classes, doubling up if they are not coming back to school, taking some classes in the summer before they leave. If they're planning on coming back, they can double up the year prior and the year after to be able to graduate with their cohort. I have never had an exchange student, an outbound as we call them, come back and say that they are sorry that they missed homecoming or senior prom.
Okay, so they are, working online then to keep up with their academics and the curriculum in their home school in Wisconsin or in Illinois, wherever they're based.
Yes, but that is while they are here, they are instructed not to take online classes while they are abroad.
Okay.
Because their focus is the ambassadorship, the cultural exchange that they are there to provide.
Okay, let's go to Mary Lou now in Monroe. Mary Lou, hi.
Good morning. Good morning. This is a very interesting show. I just want to make a couple of comments. Over the years, my family has probably hosted maybe up to half a dozen exchange students. And I just want to say what a wonderful experience it is all around. And two of my sons ended up being exchange students, and they went abroad for a year each. In fact, one of my sons went for the summer, and then he turned around and went for the following year. Excellent, excellent program, awful, awesome opportunity for our kids, and awesome opportunity to bring the kids into our homes so that our families and our schools and our community can get exposed to kids from all over.
What was life-changing about it?
Well, it brought and made the world so much smaller, especially in my family, because as you get to know kids from all over the world, you realize that we are all very much similar. Mm. And the world peace aspect, even though it has to have made some difference, knowing that people across another continents are still people just like us, and they're our brothers, they're our sisters.
Mary Lou, thank you so much for that. And Jamie, I wonder if you do see that reciprocating that Mary Lou talks about, where they're a host family, but they also end up sending their teens in a program.
Oh yes, we see that quite often. A lot of our kids choose to go in the gap year between graduation, high school graduation, and college, starting college. They go in that gap year. And if they host a student with ISE, then they get a 10% discount on the cost of going overseas.
Okay, so an incentive there as well. Jamie Cook is a manager at an exchange program in Illinois. He's hosted 21 foreign exchange students through the years. Ellen Weingarten with us, a district chair for Rotary's youth exchange program that places students in dozens of countries. Call in with questions about these programs. Bring your experiences studying abroad, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the challenges and opportunities that high school students face when becoming part of a foreign exchange program. These programs typically announce their scholarship recipients in coming weeks. Call in about youth study abroad, your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Jamie Cook is Illinois, Wisconsin Regional Manager for International Student Exchange, and Ellen Weingarten is chair of Rotary District 6220 Youth Exchange Program. Let's bring in Mary in Pewaukee. Mary, hi. What would you like to ask?
Good morning. Talking to the best Wisconsin or public radio in the nation. My comment and question would be, what about these translator apps? And is that a good idea? I didn't hear it being brought up. Or is it best to just submerge that student into, learning by speaking the language?
Mary, thank you so much. I'm going to toss that to you, Ellen.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. Anytime you can compare the two languages together is a benefit. It helps you communicate. But it should not supplant the task that your brain has to do to learn the language and keep it. I think before computers and apps on phones, we had little dictionaries that we walked around with. The apps can do a lot more than just translate a word, but it can also help with pronunciation and context. So I think overall it's a good tool.
Such immediacy as well. Jamie, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are she's right at the beginning. It's great, but there comes a point where they get dependent on it. They're not really paying attention to the English language. They're more just looking at it and then they don't remember it. The only way they're going to remember it is to speak it. So we ask them after a certain amount of time to not use them anymore, because we don't want them totally dependent on that the whole year. So we slowly have them wean away from using that and actually listen to what the people say and try to translate them themselves.
Let's hear another story. Jane in Madison. Jane, hi. What would you like to bring up?
It's Jan in Madison.
Oh, Jan, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I would like to shed light on both sides, because I've been with my sister who lives in Minnesota, and four of her six grandchildren have been with Rotary, and yay, Rotary. They've had a marvelous experience, and the grandmother, my sister, and I have visited three of the four abroad. One went to Slovakia, and that boy learned the Slovak language from the grandmother who lived in the home.
We
also went to Spain and to Italy to visit two others, and one of them is in Belgium as we speak. So Rotary is wonderful. It's a great experience for the kids. And then we were on the other side, because when my daughter was a senior in high school, we had Interact, which was a program in Eau Claire where we lived, and it brought together the kids from international students from all over northwestern Wisconsin together about three times a year. And anyway, the student that we got and the family that he was placed in did not work out, so we got Andy. And Andy lived with us, and from the very first, he fit into our family like a hand in a glove.
Oh, well, Jan, I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I want to Ellen to be able to respond here from Rotary's perspective.
Yes, you know, I think it's really important to highlight what is so beneficial about youth exchange. You know, these students go abroad, they come home largely fluent in another language, which can influence their careers and the schooling that they take. They often get credit for the language acquisition that they've got. They've learned to be independent, to problem solve on their own. And more importantly, well, it's all important, but the soft part is that they become family members of their three host families over the year. And these are really strong bonds that last a long, long time. I hear stories all the time about people who are still in contact with their exchange students. They've gone to their weddings. They've been there when their babies have been born. They are godparents. This is a mutually beneficial exercise for both the student and the host families. And this is one of the reasons why the Rotary Youth Exchange Program is so robust. We send about 8,000 students abroad every year, and they go into a network of volunteers across the world. There are 1.4 million members in Rotary, and everyone who participates in this program is driven by the joy that having these students in their midst brings.
Jamie, I want to bring up, teenagers coming from or going to perhaps conflict areas of the world, and how is that handled? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, we see a lot of that. Right now, we're seeing a lot of that in our Eastern European students worried about the Ukrainian war. And it takes a special host family that we put those in to help them calm down. And of course, they're more worried about their families and their area than most kids are. So we have to take that slowly with them. They may have to talk to their families a little more than we let the other ones until they feel comfortable with the idea that they left their family at home. And we have counselors to do that. I did want to mention one thing that's a little different. If a family is interested in hosting, I ask them, what are your interests? What do you like to do? Play volleyball? Do you play instruments? Are you in the plays? What do you do? And when they tell me, what country do you want? And then after they tell me, I go through all our students and I find kids that match that family. And I give them maybe four or five and say, okay, choose from these. These are what you're looking for. So that's a little different. They get to pick their student and pick one that they think will really match their family. And the ones from the countries, Russia, those, we do talk with them about these may need a little more tender, loving care. Same way with the kids that we send over there. We make sure that when they go there, they're in a safer spot.
Are you sending and receiving now with Russia?
Yes, I have a Russian girl here right now, and she's in Gays Mills, Wisconsin. And I have two other Russian girls I have families looking at.
Which brings up, let me just reintroduce you here for a moment. Jamie Cook with International Student Exchange, Ellen Weingarten, a member of Central States Rotary Youth Exchange Program. As we talk about high school student exchange programs, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Ellen, in terms of Rotary and, placing students in over 40 countries, how do you navigate conflict areas of the world?
You know, that's a tough call. We've had students who have been pulled out of countries that are showing signs of conflict. That doesn't happen very often. But we will not send students to countries who are engaged in war. But the driver for who we exchange with is whether or not a district within the Rotary network is participating. We currently do not have, I believe we do not have any districts in I don't think that Rotary is active in Russia. I don't know that for sure. We have this network of Rotarians and a network within Youth Exchange that are constantly in communication with each other, right down to the club level where the students are placed. And when we have concerns about whether or not there's something that might precipitate a student coming home or being moved, that network is very, very active. We had that happen in Japan back when the Fukushima plant went offline after the tsunami. And within a day, all of the youth exchange officers and the chairs were in communication with the chairs and youth exchange officers in the countries that the students were from to communicate that the students were safe and not in danger, and that they felt that it was okay for their exchanges to continue.
Let's bring in Sam and Sister Bay. Sam, what is your experience?
Hey, so I just wanted to comment. I was a Rotary Youth Exchange student in 2007, sponsored by the Sturgeon Bay Noon Club, and I lived in Irkutsk, Russia. So I was there for 11 months in Siberia, and I just wanted to comment how it just completely transformed my life, not only from the year, but also the benefits. I got a full academic scholarship to college. I think that was largely based on my time as an exchange student. After that, I worked in tech, and my first job was working at Google, and I was able to have volunteer projects at Google working with Russian companies. So it's completely impacted my life. But one thing I just wanted to say about the exchange program in Russia is most of the cities that Rotary sends people to are actually based in Siberia and the Russian Far East. There were no, when I was an exchange student, there were no students in Moscow or St. Petersburg that I was aware of. And that's largely because even back in 2007, 2008, Rotary was considered it wasn't considered that Putin was concerned about it and didn't want the program in the more European part of Russia. So just wanted to share my perspective. Thank you.
Sam, appreciate you sharing your perspective. I'm wondering, Ellen, what comes up there in Sam's experience from 07?
Well, you know, Sam got to meet people during his exchange year who are just regular people trying to live their lives, and he experienced Russian life through them. And that is something that most of us aren't able to get access to when we're trying to dispel common perceptions or misperceptions about a country when we haven't been there.
Ellen Weingarten is a member of the Central States Rotary Youth Exchange. Jamie Cook is Illinois-Wisconsin Regional Manager for International Student Exchange. Still time to talk about teens studying abroad, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show and the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We discuss the study abroad experience, adapting to life with a host family in a city thousands of miles from home. Still time to raise questions. Share your story. 800-642-1234. We have Ellen Weingarten, chair of Rotary District 6220 Youth Exchange Program. And Jamie Cook is here, a regional manager for International Student Exchange. Let's go back to the phones with Gary in Ripon. Gary, hi.
Hello. In regard to students that come here, I was wondering do you find that students from some places in the world have an easier time adjusting to, let's say, Illinois, Wisconsin culture than students from other parts of the world?
Jamie, what do you think? What about the adjustment and where a student comes from?
I think they all do well at the end, but I would say that most difficult children that have a difficult time are my Asian kids. Only because they don't have an alphabet there, they have symbols. So learning the alphabet is a difficult thing. Their cadence, they're usually taught by another South Korean or Vietnamese person or whatever, the language. So the cadence and the pronunciation sounds different. And a lot of the Asian kids, my Chinese and my South Korean and my Vietnamese are very, at first, very into themselves. They're so into study because they go to school from from 7 to 3, come home, eat, go back to school, go back to a school to prepare for next day's school from like 5 o'clock till 8. Then they come home and do their homework. And so here we have to get them off of this study all the time thing and help them with the cadence and the pronunciation. Mm-hmm. That's basically what I would say for the kids. But our Asian kids, our Thai kids are wonderful kids. It just takes a while to get them on board.
Gary, thank you. Emily in Hudson now. Emily, what story would you like to share?
I just wanted to share that I was also an exchange student in Argentina in high school. It's been about 20 years. And it was, like, hands down one of the best things I've ever done in my life. My heart is, like, going pitter-patter as I even talk about it. I just, it just broadened my world. It changed my perspective on everything. I have the deepest relationships with the people down there still. And whenever I have the time and money, I always go down and visit them, and I bring my family to visit them. It also changed my career as well. I work in human services. I use my Spanish in my job. I just want to like support like everything everyone's saying about this program, and it's just wonderful.
Emily, thank you so much. Ellen, you know, what about career trajectory? And also Sam brought up, being able to get a scholarship to college, perhaps because of that study abroad experience in Siberia. What would you say there?
I agree. I think that most students go abroad and have their worldview ripped open, and they are exposed to so many different things that the consideration that they give to what they thought they wanted to do is expanded quite a bit after their exchange year. There was a student that we had who came back from Belgium. He was fluent in French and decided to go into public service to be in the State Department. I can't remember, but he went into government. And another student that we've just talked with, whose language skills in Thai influenced the job he was able to take. He now works for a company that does business with Thailand, and he is traveling there on a regular basis to do business. So if the students didn't have the exposure to that particular culture and the language, they would not be going in the direction that they are.
I want to turn to the pandemic for a moment and ask you both about that impact, because we did see exchange program numbers drop quite a bit. Jamie, how has your organization changed and perhaps recovered or is still recovering from those pandemic lows?
We are still recovering. The problem that we have, and I don't know about Ellen, but our problem was we had all these kids waiting to come for that year, for the pandemic year. And then we gave the kids the choice. Do you want to come? If you do, we have to have it signed by your natural parents, you and the host family. Well, we didn't have very many kids come that year. So we have a backlog of kids who wanted to come, who are now coming now, they put it off. So we're seeing, that's how we're recovering. We're trying to mesh the new kids with the kids that were waiting. And yes, that's what we're doing. And we're finding that it's working out well, but it comes to a point where you have to say, okay, we've got enough. We can't place anymore. I do want to say one thing about Ellen's. I have my own personal story to tell. My very first kid was from Italy. She was here in 1992. I sent my son over to visit her and her brother, because her brother came here too. And after he graduated from college, and she lives in the Alps, it was beautiful. So he asked his girlfriend to marry him over there, which they were married in Italy. And now Alessandra, our girl, has called. We talk to her all the time. She's now 46 years old. We still talk to her. Her daughter is now 16, and she wants her daughter to come live with my son.
Oh, so, wow. The next generation coming. That's
yeah. So it's really
brilliant.
My son's Italian niece is going to be coming, and my Italian grandchild, which is fabulous.
Oh, wow. Ellen, I want to turn to you in our last moments here. What is Rotary's pandemic recovery like?
We were shut down for 2 years. We felt that was the best course of action, given that we didn't know what each year was going to be from 1 year to the next, what it was going to be like. So we have started up. We have students abroad and students in country now. We're slowly getting reacclimated to the processes that we had in place before the pandemic. But everyone is very, very excited to be participating again. The joy part is having the students here. So we are back up and running, and we are just gaining steam.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Real fast. Anybody can be a host family. It can be a single person. It can be empty nesters. It can be parents with little kids. It can be single people. It can be anybody.
Anybody can do it.
I don't have children. I can't do this.
The final pitch.
Empty nesters are my best.
Final pitch there from Jamie Cook, Illinois, Wisconsin Regional Manager for International Student Exchange. Ellen Weingarten, Chair of Rotary District 6220 Youth Exchange Program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.